Welcome to the special season finale episode of Just Because I Love You. The four sisters are coming to you via video call since we're recovering from a certain famous virus. We're also on baby watch, hoping Tabby gives birth before Christmas. Join us while we answer some listener questions and look forward to 2022. Okay. Testing.
That might have been a little staticky. I don't know if that was just my headphones.
It sounded okay to me.
No, it was clear as a bell.
Wrong. Okay, cool. No, that's fine. I just know that, like, they were saying the Rodecaster has been kind of staticky for Dad's podcast.
The Rodecaster has been completely cutting out at random moments for a few seconds at a time. So,
well, that's going to make for an awkward situation once.
Yeah.
I think our last episode actually had a few glitches at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I about had a coronary because I was like, oh my gosh. It only did it twice and it stopped.
Bye, Marla.
Yeah, worried. Marla's got some glitchiness too. We're all on Zoom or the equivalent of. And it's not ideal. But we also didn't get to get together last week. We're not getting together on Just Because I Love You Day, also known as Wednesday, this week. So it's got to be this. We got no other choice. It's got to be this. So, I think Marla was the one who was mostly going to be heading up our questions from people who've been listening. It's been a year, ladies. It's been a year of podcasting. So, in that time, we've gathered some questions from people who've been listening, and I have no idea what those questions are.
Okay, I will just start it off. I'm just going in order of when we received them. So the first one is, what would be your advice on discussing hard topics in group settings?
Hard topics in group settings.
So if I remember correctly, this one was about, this particular person is in a small group with husbands and wives. And, it was actually about, I think it was about vasectomies or something like that. And she just didn't really agree and talked with her husband about it later, and he was like, I really feel like you should speak up about that the next time we're all together. And I think she was just kind of scared and worried and, you know, that it wouldn't be well received.
Right.
Her opinion or her conviction about it.
Well, if that's the goal, if the goal is to speak in such a way that it's always well received, I have bad news.
I have no advice.
I cannot help you there.
Lower your expectations, Carla.
But that leads us to ask, what is our goal? What should we want to see happen when we're in a group? And I would say we want two things. We want to get closer to the truth. We want everybody to come closer to the truth. And we want to glorify God. And I would actually say those two things go together because I think that it glorifies God when we get closer to his truth. And so if that's happening, then if we're getting closer to the truth and glorifying God, then we can do that in our group setting, even if tensions are a little bit high, even if human emotions are not what we would hope they would be. So does that make sense?
Right. Also the way that you're coming at it, if you have a conviction about something, that's usually a very definitive, declarative, I have thought about this, I am doing this, and this is what I think about it, which will always provide a little bit more push back than saying, hey, remember when we talked about that uncomfortable topic? I've thought about it a little bit more. What about this or what about that? That's probably not going to be as confrontational. So depending on if she's just asking more questions or if she's trying to convince them they should also have the same conviction, she's going to meet more tension with the latter.
Right. Asking questions is a good approach, or approaching it like it's a conversation and not an inquisition. I guess, mm-hmm. can maybe help. But yeah, I think that I also think another thing that I've been praying lately that maybe will surprise some people, given what I talk about a lot when I talk about the, that our emotions are not the most important thing. And it's not something that we have to make sure that we always feel happy all the time, or that, you know, we always feel a certain way. So it might surprise you to learn that I actually ask God to make our emotions match our faith or our belief, you know, as much as I can. I actually do. I love the idea that maybe we can all get together in a big group and walk away feeling, you know, encouraged and blessed and joyful and peaceful. I mean, ideally, that would be great if that's what God wants for us for that encounter. And I don't think it's a bad thing to ask that God would be glorified by what we would call positive feelings. I don't know. I don't know if he answers that prayer and says, you know, yes, where he would have not given us the peace or the, you know, or the joy or the good feelings. But I still pray it sometimes. So you might try that too, Carla, if you're feeling like you don't necessarily want to go into that situation with a group because you're afraid that you're going to end up with negative feelings or other people are going to have negative feelings as a result by the end. Just ask that God would make everybody's feelings line up with the spirit that they're using when they're in that situation. Mm-hmm. And then obviously make sure that everybody is tapping into the spirit of God. That's the goal.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
I think it's important to remember that if people come at you, like if you say what your conviction is, your personal conviction is, and they come at you hard, like countering it, it's usually, it can feel really personal, but it's often not personal at you. It's usually them working through something, or they're like, oh, should I have a higher standard, or should I change my standard? And it can feel like an attack when it's really not. It's them kind of wrestling and processing through, mm-hmm. especially if it's countercultural, and they mm-hmm. haven't really put the time and energy into thinking it through. So don't grow weary, as hard as that is. And if you have made a decision with your husband, especially, and he's in the room with you, you know, it's not wrong of you to kind of lean on him too. Mm-hmm. and realize that you have a partner in crime and you didn't come up with this conclusion on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I would definitely be encouraged knowing that my husband is in agreement and in my corner and is encouraging me to speak that conviction to other people. And you never know, the Holy Spirit might really work in those people and you might be really surprised by how the conversation is, but you will never know until you do it.
They'll right, probably have a lot more that. Respect for you. Even if they don't agree with your conviction, even if they don't ever, like, you know, air quotes, come to your side on this matter, I, at least in my experience, I've gained a lot more respect from people by having convictions at all. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's an encouragement. It might not feel good in the moment, but later they might actually come to you for advice because they're like, well, at least this person thinks. At least this person
is just about to say that.
Yeah, afraid to stand up for what they believe. Mm-hmm.
I have at least one person who's come to me for a lot of things now to get my opinion, just because I think she's curious of what I think and she thinks that I've thought things through a lot. And it's like, wow, didn't expect that. Don't always want it, but don't always want to know. It's funny. Okay. I think you got that one good. So question number two, there has a bit of an introduction with it. So it says, I think a big question of mine would be what happened or who, someone special, helped you deepen your faith and trust in God? At any point in your life, was there a pivotal change where you knew God was doing his magic, even if you didn't know it at the time? Just something along the lines of your personal story and how you knew you couldn't do life without God's help.
Ooh, that is long. That is a long answer for four people. I won't like do a whole story of mine or anything like that. I will just say that when I got to look back on parts of my life, it was probably not surprisingly, but like the more difficult parts of my life and the more difficult people. I actually learned way more from people that were negative experiences in my life than the positive ones. Not that they aren't just as important. I mean, having a support group and having like my family and stuff has been a huge blessing. But dealing with people that I kind of went, I don't want to be like you, was almost more important than the support system at home. Oh, by the way, I'm timing contractions, so someone else's turn.
Yay!
Oh,
how many was it since the last contraction?
Well, it's not very intense because I can still talk through it because it was about 3 minutes ago. But that one, 3 minutes ago, wasn't that bad either. Yeah, it was the one before that.
The closer they are together, the less intense they are usually.
Yeah.
We're also all recovering from COVID. So coughing now and then. Maybe voice is a little bit lower than usual.
I feel very low.
Yeah.
I can give my brief pivotal point. So I grew up in the church, which everybody knows, I think, by now. I turned away, I think, several times where I just was kind of like doing my own thing. When I was living in Austin, I was like living a double life for sure, partying on weekends, going to church hungover, and leading my welcome team. I was just quite something. But I'll never forget when I was sitting in church and I was just at a really low point. I wasn't happy with my life. I felt like I was definitely living a double life. And I think I was finally feeling like the weight of that. And I was just sitting in church and I prayed in my head. I was like, God, I don't know what to do. Like, tell me what to do next. And I've told this story to them recently where I really feel like in my head, I heard God say, you just need to move home. And it was so off. It was just the opposite of what I really expected to hear. I don't think it's really what I wanted deep down. I had just been home and told my family that there's no way I'm moving back to Kokomo or Indiana. And as soon as I heard that, God telling me to move home, I was like, okay. So I like went home. I thought about it. And Monday I called my mom and dad and was like, what do you guys think about me moving home? And they were just radio silence. And they were like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. And so pretty much a month after that, I was home. And I would say I was still recovering from some of my past mistakes. So I was home. I was still making some mistakes and making some bad choices, I guess is a better way to phrase it. So I feel like that was kind of a pivotal point, just like moving home and then giving God over my relationships was another thing that I did. I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like I suck at it. I suck at trying to find a good person for myself. And I kind of like gave that over to God. And then I feel like meeting, just befriending Mandy and Abby and Megan has been a huge pivotal shift for my life in terms of digging into the Bible more, caring more about what the Bible said. So I think those are the three things that are the most recent in my life.
What was
somebody blow their that? Nose?
Yes,
that was my somebody.
Oh my goodness!
Joe. He's not even in the room.
Blowing his nose.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. I'm glad really I'd wrapped it up at that point.
God.
Perfect ending.
I tried to tell you, Carla, that we're all sick.
Well, and I forget that this microphone picks up everything. You could hear a fly fart.
No, obviously.
At least we know Joe knows how to blow his nose really well.
You can hear yes,
let's just hope the tissues
trumpet.
Are in the trash.
Oh my
God.
Well, anyway, yeah, I've talked about some of this before on our depression and anxiety episode. You're talking about postpartum issues. But I totally echo what Tabby said, that most of the time, my biggest periods of growth have also been periods of suffering and struggle, I would say. Like, it doesn't feel good in the moment. And it's kind of a hard balance, I think. Another thing that I've prayed a lot and asked of God is that he would not let me get so caught up in thinking that everything is just such a big deal or so serious that it ends up causing me to be, you know, worthless or useless, like that I just can't even function because everything seems so, you know, huge that I'm just full of anxiety and I can't function. But also that I wouldn't get so comfortable and so thinking that things are such a small deal that the same effect ends up happening, that I'm basically useless and I'm not able to function because it's like, well, what does it matter? Nothing that I do is even important. So there's like two ditches, I think, that I've been tempted to fall into at different times, whether I'm struggling with this inflated sense of importance, like, oh my goodness, all of my choices that I'm making are just so serious and so such big deals that like I'm afraid, like I'm incapacitated because I'm afraid to move. Or on the other side of things, oh my goodness, nothing I do even really matters that much. I make no difference in the world, you know, nothing that I do has an impact on anybody else at all. So I might as well not do any movement, you know, I might as well not go anywhere, and I'm incapacitated by that fear. And so it's one of those two fears that I'm wrestling with when I'm on the brink of, I guess, growth or a new layer of my relationship with Christ. And I know that, and I, you know, I have the faith now, I hope, that helps me keep that in mind when I'm on the brink of, you know, that kind of a suffering, but it still doesn't make it any easier necessarily. And so I guess the hard truth is that whenever I'm being reminded of how much I need God, it doesn't always feel as good as you would kind of hope.
never feels good.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, at the same time, God did create our feelings, and he knows what we need, and he knows when we're on the brink of collapsing into this like depressive state, because it's like, oh well, if it always hurts, or if it's always bad, or if it always feels bad, then what's the point? You know, there is sort of a hopelessness that can come with that if we're not careful. And I do think that God is a good God, and that he knows when we are wrestling with that, and when we need kind of that hope, and when we need a sense of joy again, and we need, you know, him to rescue us with what's another word for hope or joy, like, you know,
assurance.
Or when we need some positive feelings, you know, I
we need a break.
Yeah. I can't emphasize enough that I'm not against good feelings, you know. I think that without God could have created a world where there was never any joy or there was never any pleasure. You know, you could never smell or taste something. And we kind of know what that's like this week, don't we?
I miss food.
This could have been our reality forever, you know. If God had wanted, he could have made it so that we never got to enjoy any sensation, any smell, any taste, any beautiful sight. But he didn't. He gave us physical bodies, and he gave us the ability to enjoy certain things. And so, I believe that God is a good God, and that he gives us those things and knows when we need to be reminded that those beautiful things exist. So, but that's a really long way of answering the question, which is basically who or what has impacted your faith in God. I would say people would be, you know, apologists like C.S. Lewis, and obviously Tabby's and my dad has had a lot of impact on my thoughts. I really like Mike Winger on YouTube. He's a pastor who I was actually just watching one of his videos before we got started here. People like that have really encouraged me. And I always know when I'm kind of on the cusp of a new growth period, because it's like this really tight tension between like awful suffering and like divine joy, if that makes sense.
I want to feel like up there your answer, Mandy, because I mean, my testimony, my answer to that would be go listen to the postpartum depression episodes. There's two of them. They're about in the middle of the year. So you can go sort through those suckers. But I wanted to pick, because you said C.S. Lewis, and I had to look up the quote, especially when we're talking about suffering and joy being in like the same phrase. Usually, I mean, our culture especially does not connect those two. But C.S. Lewis is quoted, I believe in his The Problem with Pain book, we are not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. And that always gives me some like solace when I'm going through something hard or painful or an illness or sickness, that it's like, you know, God hasn't fallen off of his throne. If it, you know, I guess this might be a little Calvinist of me, but if he's allowed this, if he's a sovereign God and he's allowed this, then he's going to make it turn out for his purpose and his good. So I just always found solace in that quote, especially in answering that question.
I was just looking up the episodes for the postpartum. It looks like it's episodes 11 and 13. Somewhere we may have missed a 12 along the way. It's looking like they may have gotten mislabeled at some point. But
Carla, that's back when I was in charge of uploading.
Episodes 11 and 13.
11 and 13. And
part one and two.
It would have been better if it was like 11 and 12, but no 13, because there's no 13 on hotel floors or in hotels. But
I can go change it, Marla.
I feel like there was a 12. I feel like we didn't release those episodes back to back. Yeah, but then
there's nothing in between. I'm looking on here though. There's nothing in between them.
Well, then I guess Megan, you're dumb. But I was trying to get the benefit of the doubt.
That's why I got fired and Marla took over.
No.
By the way, this
help you.
This contraction thing is I think a little bit overzealous. It's like you should probably get ready to go to the hospital. I was like,
if they're 3 minutes apart, then that would be true. But yeah, if they're not actually that intense, then it's not true.
That's how mine was, Tabby, and I went to the hospital and they sent me home.
Yeah, well, if this was my first baby, I'd be a lot more like, oh, no. But by baby number three, I'm mostly like, yeah, we're going to give that a hot second.
Yeah, if you're still talking through them, mostly, you're probably good to stick around.
And I just want to mention, too, that Dad and I recorded an episode of his podcast on Friday using Zoom call like we're doing now. And the whole time we were recording, I was like, this is going to be a train wreck. The audio is not totally right. It's difficult to talk because we're talking over each other. And it's totally different when you're not in the same room and you're used to having conversations in the same room. And I was like, ugh, this is going to be a mess. And then I listened to the playback when I was uploading the episode, and it wasn't as bad as I remember. So I told Luke when I was done recording it, I was like, that's just going to be a mess because like my brain's foggy. We've all been sick. I didn't even know what we were going to talk about. And plus like the technology is, you know, kind of an obstacle instead of a boon in this case. But then it turned out that it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. So I don't know if that's an encouragement. Maybe that's just going to give us permission to do the worst job we've ever done. I don't know.
I don't know. We've had some in-person ones that are pretty scatterbrained. So we can't be any worse than that.
So far, so good. This might be a quicker answer, but what are some tips on how to bring biblical teachings into your child's daily life? We read the Bible. Like, we have a children's Bible that we read from. Sometimes we do really good and read a story a night. Other times we don't. But in particular, the holiday season, we read the Nativity and we pray. And, you know, I don't know if this question is is looking for your child to start reciting Bible verses to you, you know, when they're 3 years old. But I think that when you're in a routine of it and you help make it a part of their life, whatever it is that you decide to do, eventually you start to see the seeds that you've planted grow. And I don't know, that's kind of where I'm at.
I think it's a lot like what we talk about with homeschooling, where there's a small fundamental difference in what I think is being asked. If they're asking what curriculum do I use for Bible, it's like, oh yeah, well, I've got a storybook Bible that sometimes we read out of. But mm-hmm. I don't think that's really what they're asking. And so I was able to relax a lot when I remembered that I am Christian, and so is my husband, and so is our family. And we teach our kids Christianity by being a family, by living. When I tell them, you can't hit your brother, that's a biblical principle. And it doesn't always mean that I sit her down and say, because, Marcy, do to others as you would have them do to you. Sometimes, but most of the time, it's just, no, you're not allowed to hit your brother. And that's a rule that we have in this house. And there you go. There's a biblical principle. Or yes, sometimes, you know, we all sit down and we pray before a meal. And those are all good and great things. But just living in a household that tries to follow truth and tries to give glory to God in all things, that is also going to be an immense blessing to your kids, even without you sitting down and doing Moses coloring pages. Not that there's anything wrong with them. It's just, don't feel like, oh no, am I doing enough because we missed an Advent day? Or am I doing enough because we didn't do bedtime prayers because things were a little hectic? It's like, are you trying to live every day for God's glory? Are your children coming alongside you in that? Then you will see, you'll see some benefits.
Megan?
It's good.
Dang, I can't follow up on Tabby's. That
it was good.
I was going to say, I'm just really, I can tell you what I plan on doing. Not that I'm like failing at my course of action, because we also are a homeschool family, and we do our Bible reading. We do our Advent calendar. You know, what was that?
That was my gremlin who just scared the poo out of me. I didn't even see her. Hold on.
I mean, I agree with that. You know, you can tick all the boxes and you can still have wayward children too. So I try not to make it too much like fundamentalism in our family. A lot of conversations happen organically as we're doing school or as we're just living life, especially as my 7-year-old continues to get older. She has deeper theological questions, which it's been really exciting. But I did ask for a catechism actually for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to using that. I believe it's the Lutheran one. Oh, Tabsha left. Not the Catholic one. I don't think there's too much of a difference, to be honest.
A catechism, you say?
A catechism. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
A children's catechism or an adult catechism?
It's a kid's catechism. Gotcha. So I'm looking forward to that. It was recommended by Bauckham.
Yeah. Bodie
Bauckham. Bodie
Bauckham. Yeah. So I don't know if we'll do that like right after dinner or when we'll start that. But so that's one thing you can look into.
We've done different things at different phases of our lives. In our kids' lives. And I don't want people to feel like if they're not doing some tradition for 20 solid years, that they're doing something wrong. Like there was a time where we were reading devotions right before dinner to the kids. And we did that for maybe, you know, a month or two. We read daily in our Bible reading for homeschooling, but Luke's not part of that because he's usually at work. So, you know, does that mean that we're failing? There have been times where we've, like this year, the Advent calendar is mainly being headed up by my 10-year-old because they always want to do it while I'm, you know, in the closet cleaning something or in the shower. And they're like, can we do Advent calendar? So I'm like, have Cammie read the verse. So Cammie is now reading for her siblings, you know, the daily verse for our Advent calendar. Aww. And does that mean that we're failing? You know, if it looks different next Christmas, which it probably will, does that mean that we have, you know, completely given up this current tradition that we had going for exactly one Christmas season? No. And I bring that up because I think there are probably other people who are like me who are like, if you don't establish something for the long haul, why even bother establishing it at all? And it's like, well, they're people whose lives are, you know, made up of all kinds of moments and lots of different phases and lots of different levels of comprehension. And so, yeah, there's a lot of different ways that Bible teaching might be imparted to them. They go to Sunday school every week. You know, they go to Bible camp in the summer. We do VBS. That's Vacation Bible School for those of you who didn't grow up in church. And all of those are good, but that doesn't mean that if you're not doing all of those things that you're not also incorporating, you know, the Bible into your life. And like Tabby said, it starts with you. If you have a relationship with Christ, then you are going to be a symbol of that for your kids, or you're going to be an example of Christ following for your kids. So don't underestimate that. Don't feel like you're a failure or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing if you aren't also like the Pinterest mom of Bible teaching.
Yeah, crafts are not necessary, but man, do they make things fun.
Mandy would disagree.
Unless you're afraid of glitter. Yeah. Unless you're Mandy.
It depends on the craft. I will say that this week we ended up doing making our own super bouncy balls because Emery got a kit from our mom, Tabby's and my mom, for her birthday.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so they were begging me and I was not into it. Like I was so foggy. My brain was not working. I could feel myself like begging to just sink into the sofa rather than go and do this project. But I also could tell, I thought to myself, this is, if not now, when? I mean, we're stuck here in quarantine until who even knows. I might as well say yes to this guy because I can't think of a reason to say no other than I'm just feeling really lazy and I don't want to. And it ended up being something that they enjoyed a lot. So for what that's worth.
But did you?
That's a trick question because, again, being sick and just there's a bunch of other stuff going on. This whole COVID thing is for the birds and has been has been wreaking havoc on sleep patterns and moods and all sorts of stuff. But there were moments while they were doing this bouncy ball craft that I could tell I had made the right decision. So, and like I said, my prayer has been that God would make my feelings match what I know to be true and match my faith in him. And so, yes, in those moments, it's like, yes, this was correct. This was what I needed to be doing with my time. Being present here with these kids at this moment is what I need to do. So glory, hallelujah.
Yay, bouncy balls.
And oh my goodness, okay, after they were done, they were bouncing them like ceiling to floor. It was a madhouse. There were like 12 bouncy balls going and the four-year-old was squealing with delight. And I mean, great
your
fun.
China hutch.
Thankfully was that broken. Was around the corner. They were in the other side of the house, but yeah.
Oh, oh goodness. Okay. How would we handle a family member or, well, she's saying family member in this case, that treats their personal stance on any matter as God's truth and when presented with opposing opinion/research, they act as if you are rejecting them and they cut off all but the shallowest of communication?
All but the what?
Shallowest.
The shallowest of communication.
Oh, shallowest.
This seems very specific to a particular situation.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that I have anybody who both thinks that everything that they're saying is already exactly right and will cut you off and not talk to you about it. Because that seems like two different styles. But
And what would you do if her name was Karen? And what would you do if hypothetically she was your cousin? And
if she lived at 123 Main Street on this, in this city? Yeah.
She, this Carla had given kind of like a background of, I think it may have been, part of it was about maybe the vaccine possibly. It seems like in this particular situation that this person was turning personal convictions, or what she felt like was a personal conviction for her, and turning it into what everyone else needed to feel was the like, because it was her personal conviction, it needed to be everyone's
sure
personal conviction.
Well, and I would say, how do you know that it's not God speaking to you through that person? Like, how do you know that you're not triggered because the person that is speaking to you has some points that she's convinced are coming straight from God, and you can't really say that it's not? I mean, I don't know. Like I said, all I know is that whenever I'm in the period of growth, that it always feels really terrible for a little while, and it's wrought with suffering. So, you know, whenever somebody's like, oh, that person's so opinionated, they just think that their way is, you know, the right way, I always kind of have this question of, well, could it be, you know, are they right? Mm-hmm. And where do we go from there? I don't know. It could be a discussion from that point, you know, if neither one of you was taking it personally, or if you were both just kind of exploring that topic more, then you could leave the conversation theoretically with neither one of you having a bad taste in your mouth at all. But if the problem is that both of you believe that your way is absolutely the truth of God, that could be where the communication is breaking down, and where, you know, it's impossible to have any conversation at all other than the shallowest conversation. Because whenever something more deep or serious comes up, both of you have some, you know, some struggles with that or some feelings about that.
Couldn't you treat it a little bit like we do the idea of bullying, where instead of trying to change how the other person presents her opinions or presents God's truth, it's, yeah, a little bit like what Mandy said, where evaluate it. Could it be true? Is it something that you need to change or something you need to think about? And if it isn't, if it ends up being a personal conviction, then let her have her personal conviction. It's not a huge deal to let her just say, well, that's what God told me. And it's like, all right, then. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, I think it's okay to also say, you know, I didn't feel that way about it. But, you know, I can always pray and seek God and wisdom and discernment to what you're saying. I mean, I would say, to be truthful, I mean, if you're not going to do that, then I wouldn't say that you are, obviously.
Right.
And well, I read further down that she did say that it was a lot of different subjects that it was happening with, and a couple of them were at a loss for how to be friends with her. And I mean, honestly, friendships just aren't always easy. And it sounds like this person actually really needs friends. So I would hate for her to be abandoned, because the conversations aren't flowing well, or her really strong convictions are, you know, triggering you.
I don't know that there are strong convictions on either side. I think that things break down when there's uncertainty on both sides. I think that that's mm-hmm. when people are most sensitive or most apt to fight, is when, you know, there's a nerve being struck and they're not sure that they're hearing from God. And so on that topic, I would just say that you can still praise God and thank him for disagreements, because that he is getting ready to do something. He's either going to, you know, convict your friend and, you know, work on her, and bring her to a new place that she hasn't been before, or he's getting ready to do that with you. And if you're not sure which it is yet, just kind of hang on and ask him that he be gentle. But something is going to happen. That's usually an indication that both of you are uncomfortable for a reason. And so I had another thought and then COVID stole it away from me. It might come back. Somebody else.
Yeah. I was tracking with you there, Mandy. That was actually my thought is the people that I've had those kind of arguments with where they just like mic drop and walk away. And then it's like, oh, great. Now we get to just have nicety conversation for the next week or so. It's usually because they're the most insecure about the topic at hand. Or they just haven't learned how to communicate their thoughts yet. They might actually have a deep conviction about that, but they haven't realized that that conviction might not extend to everybody. It could be a personal mm-hmm. conviction. Again, I don't know the topics that we're talking about. But if it's one of those things like thou shalt not, you know, lie, and they're swearing up and down that it's okay to lie, maybe we shouldn't go through examples because that's probably going to get us in the weeds. But something that's really obvious, then it's like, you know, for a fact, I don't even have to engage in this. Like, you just say, I disagree with you. And that'll be enough to put a pebble in their shoe that if they want a mic drop and walk away, like, that's fine. That's all you needed to do is leave the pebble.
Yeah. It's okay not to hash it, to try to hash it all out, tease it all out for hours and hours.
Yep. Let it be. And have faith that God is working behind the scenes on both of you. I kind of remembered what I was going to say. I was going to say people are more drawn to somebody who is humble enough to let things go. You know, people tend to want to be around somebody who is going to let them talk and not hold them necessarily to, how am I trying to say this? Somebody who's not going to be upset if you are being a little bit opinionated because they understand like what we're trying to talk about here, where they understand that maybe you're just working through something still. That it's actually really comforting for people to be around somebody who understands that and gives you space to work through that stuff, even if you're being a little bit hard-nosed or, you know, a little bit. It might rub people the wrong way. It might rub a lot of people the wrong way. But if you can be somebody who's like, oh, I see what's going on here, it's fine. One of the things I said this week is I'm a safe person to be crappy toward. I want that to be true about me. Like, I want to be a safe person for people to say somewhat crappy things to while they're still in the process of working through it and, you know, trying to seek the truth on it. And so generally, people do want to be around you and share with you more when you're a safe person to do those things with. Now, what ends up happening is you tend to get surrounded by people who have a lot of problems, who are, you know, saying stuff that you disagree with all the time. And you do have to have a pretty good connection with Christ so that you don't end up getting thrown off course and, you know, thrown for a loop and in your own emotional whirlwind over it. But if you're strong enough to do that, then I guarantee you will always have people coming to you wanting to talk to you about stuff like that. Because if you're a safe mm-hmm. person for them to talk to, it's rare. It's hard to find that.
I think about you guys when I'm like in draft mode is what I call it. When I'm processing through something and everything's in draft. So I make these outrageous statements and these like declarative, you know, this is what I believe. And you guys are like, Megan. And you poke at my draft.
I'm sure that's what you believe right now, Megan. That's what we think.
Yeah.
My favorite are the text messages. The text messages that are like five incoherent sentences.
Oh my gosh.
And then like while you're still reading them, like six more come in. And then every once in a while I've actually texted back like, are you okay? What are you talking about?
Slow down for a second.
You'll know if you're that person because you'll see their draft mode come out. And it's your clue. It's their tell.
We're like, who are you with, Megan? Is it a coworker? Are you at church? Who has upset you? Like, why are you spinning? I call it whirling. Like, you're just obviously having a hard time catching all the thoughts right now.
Like, who are you talking about?
That's what's so funny. So I'm like, how do those things even connect? Does she even know?
No. It's all connected in my brain, but I literally can't navigate my way through. And you know what? And I do come to you guys because you're the safest. So Carla, if your friend is making these big declarative statements or she's wheeling and whirling to you, it might be because she knows that you're safe, you can take it. Yep. You'll mm-hmm. keep, you're going to stay there no matter what in her life.
Yep. Ask God to give you the wisdom to figure out which it is. You know, are you dealing with somebody who's actually as confident as she appears, and she's a know-it-all and she's arrogant and you can't reason with her because no matter what you do, she's always going to think what she thinks right now. Is that really what's going on? Or is it a situation where she's actually coming to you with a whole host of insecurities and problems, and somebody needs to be that safe person for her? And only God can reveal which it is. But like Megan said, all of this makes sense in our heads, but it's like, it feels like it's a little disjointed and disconnected. And I don't think I'll know until we go back and listen to this episode again, whether we actually came full circle and answered the question. But that's what I was trying to say from the very beginning is, you know, make sure that you know that it's not you who's got the issue, that it really is the other person. And then ask God if he's trying to change you and grow you in a new direction, or if he's trying to change your friend or your family member. And then do what you can to be that safe person, because whenever you're around, whether it's you going through a growth spell or your friend or family member, you guys both are going to need a whole lot of grace and a whole lot of patience while you do it. And it's hard. It's hard to be a safe person.
Could we agree that sometimes the people who have the most declarative things to say are using a lot of words to say them, and that kind of is a bit of a tell that they're maybe still working through it if it takes many, 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 many words
it depends.
To explain?
It depends on the context, and yeah, it depends on how topic. The words are being used too. Like, for mm-hmm. example, me being in a cloud because of being sick and rambling when I'm not able to put thoughts together is slightly different from right. a person who like rapid fires five or six different slightly related topics, you know, all trying to bring them all together all at once. Mm-hmm. It's hard to describe, but I think the more you talk to people, yes, the more you can tell the difference between mm-hmm. somebody who's like either not paying attention to what they're trying to say and going off course because they're just distracted, or doing what you're describing, Marla, where they're like, they're just trying so hard to reinforce their beliefs that they're just grasping at straws and sticking, throwing stuff up against the wall to see what sticks is what the old statement goes, you know.
Sometimes it's like you're in a room with someone and they're just like saying all kinds of things and you're like, oh, they're really just working through this, and I just happen to be in the room with them right now.
Right.
I've had a few talks like that where I'm like, oh, they're still trying to figure it out. And they don't even know sometimes.
Right. And so a cool, kind of a fun thought experiment question for me is, would they be able to work it out if it weren't for our being there? I don't know. Like, you know, do they actually need us just to sit there and hold space? And that's kind of the purpose that we're serving? Is that a legitimate thing that God would ask for us to just be there? Or not?
For people like me, yes. My poor introverted husband, sometimes the only thing I need him to do is sit there and he just looks at me. I'm not even sure he's listening. Well, I'm like, okay, and what about this? What about that? And I feel this way and I feel that way. And I can't talk to Mandy right now. But then again, maybe I don't want to talk to Mandy right now. And then like I cry a little bit and then I come back 5 minutes and I'm like, thanks for listening. And then and then out I go.
So you would not be able to do those things without him standing there. Is that what you're testifying?
I could, but I'm saying that I have always been the kind of person who enjoys having it sometimes said out loud, because sometimes just saying it out loud helps me go, oh, okay, that's crazy. Okay, now that that's out of my head, where things are sometimes a lot more deceptive and I've said it into the world, it's like, oh yeah, that's not true. That's okay. I can throw that out the window now, or that is true. I can put that back in my brain. And it's not always word vomit. Not always. Sometimes I do actually know things, but yes, he's wonderful to just sit there and like pretend like he's listening. He just said, I am phenomenal, from the other room.
I have definitely recorded Marcos to you guys and then deleted them because I'm like, okay, yeah. Delete. We're good now.
It was like 10 minutes worth of talking.
Yeah. Or I've like, I don't know if I've, I think, I feel like I've said this on the podcast before where I like, an email to somebody back
your
in
your video
previous...
cut out. Start again. You've been typing away.
Oh. I would type emails responses to get my anger out, and I would type it all out, and I wouldn't put to who it was to, because definitely you'll hit send if you do that accidentally. And I would type it all out, and then I would delete it, and I would feel better, and then I'd be able to come more kind response to people just by getting it all out there.
See, so. I've never been Sidebar. One who prefers to talk. Like when I'm stressed out or struggling, I go in on myself and I think through stuff. But as a blogger and a writer, I definitely have been in the frustrating situation where I had to type through something in order to get it out. And then I would go back and it'd be like 3,000 words or something absurd. It should not be that long for a blog post. And it would be like, I would come to realize it would be like 4 different blog posts all mushed together, which would just be so frustrating because after 4 or 5 hours of typing and thinking like I'm getting somewhere, I realized that I was no closer to pushing publish or being able to like share any of it with anyone. But there was still, it was still part of the process. Like I still needed to do it to get more clarity of thought. But it is, for me anyway, it's just really frustrating when I do all of that work and it feels like a waste because it still doesn't make a whole lot more sense and I end up trashing most of it.
Really? You don't part and just and then feed off of each piece later and finish it?
No, that would be what you would think. Aww. You would do because people don't want to feel like they've wasted their time. And so it's like, oh, I'll just save this. I'll save these 6 chunks of 6 different blog posts and just use them later. But no, it actually is better to trash it, to appreciate where you have landed as a result of all the thought, but then just start fresh. And it ends up being better for me anyway. It ends up being better with a second draft because I can just start in a more logical place and I have covered the ground now, you know, once, so I can do it again. Mm-hmm. Incorporating sometimes completely different examples or stories, which
see, yeah. You do it too. Your person is just not a person. It's a computer. So they don't go, why am I here?
Well, but my husband does get annoyed with me because like I'll be in the zone working and writing or whatever. And then he'll try to interrupt and I'll just be like, no, stop. Don't interrupt. But like the thing I have to show for it, he'll be like,
"Can't you see we're talking here? Right? It's just me and your computer.
You're interrupting us." Yeah, and he'll be like, "Well, what are you writing about?" And I can't even tell him. Like that's when I know it's bad. I'll be like, "I have something. I'm trying to say something about a thing," and he's like, "What thing?" And I'm like, "I don't know."
Just leave us alone.
I will know in a few hours, maybe, if you just give me the time to keep typing randomness.
I might give you something.
It's the worst.
It'll be the last sentence. Well, are we an hour in? I mean, what are we going to do here?
It's 53 we still got minutes on the
53?
Recorder.
53?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
My app has officially told me to go to the hospital, but I'm not doing that. I did text Dad, though.
You texted him and told him that you were going to bring the kids over?
Well, I texted him and said I'm timing some contractions right now. Hopefully I'll know soon whether I actually need to go or not. I said, I really don't want to have to call you at like 1 o'clock in the morning, but we'll see.
I have a feeling Marla's right. It's going to be you pushing out that baby on Thursday.
Oh my gosh. You think I'm going to be in this kind of labor for over 24 hours?
Whatever this is going to stop for a while.
Oh, as long as it stops. I just don't want to.
So far, I've been wrong. Pretty much.
Well, I said Wednesday. I want her to have this baby tomorrow.
Wednesday? Yeah. Oh, you said Wednesday?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
See, Megan's problem is that she wants to be right, so she keeps giving like ranges.
Yes.
I'm like, between Tuesday and Thursday definitely going to be.
If it doesn't happen before Tuesday, then definitely after Thursday. It's like, yeah. Well, yeah.
And then she's like, definitely before Christmas. And it's like, that's like 7 days.
I have to win.
Probably before 2022. That's my guess. Yeah, I was like,
before Easter. Jeez, Megan.
So one other thing that I had mentioned in the introduction that we haven't done is just something about, like, what are we looking forward to for 2022? Or, like, wishes for Carla, goals for our families. Maybe that can be a good way to wrap up this episode. And then any other questions that you have on your list, Marla, maybe we can, like, tackle as first episode of the next season or something.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Goals, Tabby.
Oh, geez.
Have a baby. Goals.
Someone else.
Oh, she can't.
She's right, got a contraction.
Because she's in the middle of contracting.
Jeez.
It doesn't get more real life than this, Carla.
Oh, don't make me laugh.
I would love to be able to. Is she really struggling?
She goes, oh, don't make me laugh.
One of our family goals is to buy a house. Maybe this summer, if the market just would chill out a bit.
It's expensive right now.
It's very expensive.
And everything is like three bedrooms. And it's like, oh, look, you would like a closet? That's an extra $15,000.
Yeah, everything is just so.
I love how desperate it is. Like, the amenities are they're literally things like has a fenced in yard. It's like, that's what we're considered like a top end amenity right now in this market. And it's like, has real windows. Like,
yeah. Has a toilet, silly. Indoor yeah. plumbing.
Yes. Extra $20,000.
Okay. Well, for the houses Tabby's looking at.
I'm not.
We've got wiring draped everywhere.
That was just it was a crazy possibility. And we still might do it. Who knows?
You never know. I also think that Britney Spears is gonna have like another like mental break and
that's
things are going to go crazy. That's a prediction.
That was not what I expected.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I asked for goals for 2022.
Didn't say it was a goal. It's just a prediction.
All right. My prediction is some celebrity couple is going to divorce. I don't care which one.
I'm being very specific. It matters.
Well, if you want, my prediction, you guys already know, but Carla doesn't. I predict that two of the sisters, and I'm not going to be specific because I like my ranges because I like to be right.
No, you have to be specific because that's what makes this prediction so dumb.
Now, two of the sisters will be pregnant, not having a baby, but pregnant next year.
Okay, who?
And I will say, Carla, none of us are planning on being pregnant next year. So my prediction already is kind of specific. It's kind of out there.
All right, I'll tell you, like, Carla.
It's very possible.
I'll tell you, Carla. Megan thinks that it's not going to be me, but that it's actually going to be, you said Mandy. No, sorry. You said Marla and yourself.
No, I think she did say Mandy.
No, I did not say myself. She said me and Mandy.
And I said,
what'd you say?
I said, curse you.
Curse you.
Curse you.
Oh, I was going to say, hilariously enough, your audio cut out both times.
Yeah.
So it sounded like you were like literally
like
cursing
you
me
actually
out.
Said it and I had to push a button or something. But it's just wow. Our Zoom connection.
Oh, rough language on our podcast. That's my prediction.
That's funny.
My
what
goal
about you,
is
Mandy?
To be more content.
More What's content. Your goal, Megan?
To be more content.
To make my feelings match my faith. Yeah, I want to learn more in 2022. I want to see like the undeniable presence of God in some big areas. But specifically the way that we're building our, you know, our community here. I want to be able to see God's kingdom coming to, you know, I guess growing and using us to do that. So maybe that's too vague. I guess in my head, I'm being a little bit more specific than I really am.
That's like a life goal.
Yeah. But like specifically in 2022, I'd like to be able to see some progress made. Like I would financially, you know, I'd like to see our reach expanded. And so it feels like we've been sort of acting in faith for a while and waiting for some sort of confirmation that we're on the right path. And I don't even really know what that confirmation would be, but that's my prayer. My prayer is that God would show us in an undeniable way that, you know, we're on the right path and that things that we're doing are bearing fruit. That's a good Christian way to say it. I would like to see some evidence of fruit in 2022.
I like all your Christianese this podcast.
Oh, thanks.
It's very nice.
Thanks. I like all your contractions, Tabby.
I'm kind of struggling. and it makes for a really crappy goal because it's like, I can't think of anything right now. I have been in baby limbo.
That's why I said have a baby. Did I not say is that your goal to have a baby?
That's true. And all the things that are going to come from that, because I learned the most when Simon was born. I learned a lot about anxiety and I learned a lot about Christianity in my own walk and just a whole lot of things. And having him as such a chill baby, it was a really pleasant experience. And now I'm about to add a third and it's like, I can't think of anything except I'm going to have to just take it a minute at a time, a day at a time. And maybe we can ask for my resolutions and goals like 6 months from now. And I can evaluate with something more clear besides like, oh, I don't know, I'd like to sleep or I don't know, I'd like to.
But no, but that's what I mean by fruit though. Like I want to be able to see that it's obviously God because we know that it's not us. You know, we know that it's not by our own strength that we're able to continue to parent when we're exhausted. You know, it's not by our own strength that we're able to buy a house, you know, in a market that's just super inflated. It's not by our own strength that we can do all of the daily tasks that it takes to just manage the households that we have. I was outside today picking up sticks. This is totally random, but I was outside picking up sticks in my house coat. because it was sunny and I was like, you know, it's Indiana. We don't get many of these. So I'm going to go outside for a few minutes. And I picked up, I don't even know how many dozens of sticks, and there are still more out there. Like there are lots more out there. You can't even tell that I was picking up sticks this morning. That's how many there are. And so it's not going to be through our own strength that like there's going to be evidence of our work. Because we're just so small and there are so many sticks and you could pick up sticks forever and feel like you're not going anywhere. And so I would just like to see reminders that, yes, what we're doing does matter. It does have an impact. And it's obviously God because it's only through his miracles that we're able to go anywhere.
I was wondering where you're going with the stick analogy, but I liked it. Yeah. A nice little wrap up.
So many sticks, so little time.
Is that it? Should I outro it?
Merry Christmas, Carla.
Yes, Carla.
Have a baby.
I think I'm going to have a baby.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
And the next 2 days, Tabby.
No. It'll be before.
Poor Megan.
I just want to be right.
Quick, guess tomorrow.
Tomorrow
is mine.
Bye, Carla.
Thank you for joining us for Just Because I Love You Day. You can also find us on MeWe in the group Four Sisters Birth and Motherhood Counseling and on Instagram, Four Sisters One Savior. Those are numerals. We also have an email account, foursistersonesavior@gmail.com. And those are also numerals, not words. Four Sisters One Savior. See you next time.